This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batson with Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations. To Beijing, not much in the news except Li Keqiang, former premier, former number two, gonna be number one, is dead of what we're told is heart failure in Beijing. The trouble here is that what could have been 12 years ago, which was Li Keqiang to be the general secretary and president, turned into Xi Jinping. A radically, profoundly miseducated young man who suffered the vicissitudes of the Red Guard at 14 and profoundly resents authority. So he turned into it, of course, not to do psychology, just to enjoy this as a stage play, because the bully with the bad education became the general secretary, and the man who was sophisticated about the economy, Li Keqiang, is gone. So Beijing's point of view, the property market continues to collapse. The stock market is unreliable. At the same time, what we have is Hong Kong emptying of the future, people leaving when they can, no longer trusted as a banking authority. And Xi Jinping in Beijing welcomes the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who's there to talk about climate change. That is not rocking and rolling headlines, Professor, but it's what I have. So Beijing's point of view, is it completely out of the game?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to respond, but I think when you say it's out of the game, I would say that that is correct, but they can spoil the game. They can be the kid that runs onto the field, and they can also cause trouble. They had one of their jets flying in international airspace within, I think, 10 meters of a B-52. For some reason, they seem to be intent on precipitating some kind of crash or incident, which could easily escalate into war. They are confronting the Philippines in a very, very crude and misguided way, and they're losing the game of the game of public opinion with the Philippines. Filipinos are smarter than people understand, and they're better equipped. And another point is that that Japan is always there. And when we analyze, we tend to look at, say, Philippines versus China, China and the United States, China and Taiwan. We forget that the real superpower is Japan, and that Japan cannot retreat to Hawaii or even to the West Coast. Japan is there, and she has to be responsible in the end for her own security. But those are considerations that are at the level of what we're talking about, the European system. If we look at China right now, she's in as much disorder as she's been in for quite a long time. Mr. Li Keqiang is he's not a great, but if he had been a potentially great leader, he would have been eliminated from the from competition for the leader long ago. And as it was, he was eliminated in competition with someone who I think is not as good as he is. He has an earned PhD in economics and law. He also had a very, it's Chinese say that he had a very high, he had a lot of sympathy for the Chinese who are impoverished. He is the first premier to go public with the figures on how poor the rural, I mean, a third to a half of China's population is. So there are a lot of things that made him appealing, although there was also the fact there was nobody else who had his qualifications. His death poses some interesting questions. He's said to have had a heart attack while swimming. That happens. However, he has a guard, a bodyguard, in his own medical group. He's a very high-level official. He's entitled to have his own sort of doctors. Where did they take him? This occurred in Beijing, and the number 301 hospital in Beijing is the party hospital. It's basically a very, very good hospital, certainly by Chinese standards. Very, very, it's the best in China, I think, and it caters exclusively to the ruling elite. That's where Mr. Xi would go if he had a heart attack. Where did Mr. Li go? Mr. Li was sent to a Chinese traditional medicine hospital. And Chinese traditional medicine doesn't deal with acute things like heart disease, heart attacks. So there are a lot of questions. Was Li somehow done in in precisely the same way that Mao attempted to do Zhou Enlai, which is to say by denying him medical care, in Zhou's case, for his cancer. Mao said, treat him with traditional Chinese medicine. Well, that was how Mao was planning to kill Zhou. So I would say that the loss of Li is very disconcerting. It is politically disruptive, but it disrupts, if anything, it disrupts the theory, the ideas of the opposition, because there's no longer a clear candidate who would be qualified to do Mr. Xi's job. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, the way the Communist Party is organized, conformity, uncritical acceptance of authority, repetition of slogans, willingness to change the mind, etc. Those are the qualities that are prized, and you cannot take somebody who's been selected for those qualities and in whom those qualities are deeply imbued and expect them to be a really independent, compelling, creative national leader. It's just not possible. Nevertheless, Li was the last real candidate, and now it's not clear who could take Xi's place. Li was the right age, and had the right qualifications, and he could have done better with the Chinese situation than Xi is doing. But that's damning with faint praise. I mean, this is how bankrupt the leadership is in China. The talent is all in the universities and private enterprise, which are being brought under control. I think that it's interesting. Mr. Li was born in Hefei in Anhui province. And if you look at the pictures of the streets in his hometown, they're quite astonishing. I mean, there are flowers as far as the eye can see down the street, and they're at a depth of about 3 feet, or 2 feet, 3 feet. This is an extraordinary outpouring of something. It's partially grief, but it also is just political dissatisfaction, anger. This is a way of expressing that. And what it should underline for us as we look at China is it is in great disarray. The economy is not doing well. The economy is doing badly. The recovery, so-called, continues to be downward. Most recoveries go upward, not downward, but they have a delayed or a downward recovery. What you said about Hong Kong is true. This incredible goose that laid the golden egg is now hanging outside the butcher's shop. And all the money that was being created there and all the talent that was there is just draining away. The Chinese currency is under attack, and the population is getting smaller. There's a huge amount of debt and of houses that are unsold and all the rest. And at the same time, there's an immensely ambitious military program. So China is full of contradictions, and people always say that, but what we see now is that the contradictions actually render her incapable of acting even in her own interests on the international stage. China's interest, like Russia's interest, would be to be closely integrated with the West. Neither China nor Russia can survive if they are so prosper. They can survive, but they cannot prosper if they cut themselves off and isolate and try to enforce political conformity. So you mentioned Governor Newsom, and of course our authorist, Mr. Biden, he's very, very concerned to see Xi. This shows a fundamental misconception on our part and on the part of a lot of other people. China, if we understand her properly, is going to be, as I say every time I conclude this particular section, is it's going to be a source of problems but not of solutions. And the issue is to prevent her from landing us in a really ghastly international crisis.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We've left Washington to last because Washington's really not relevant to what we're concerned about, which is the demonstration that American campuses are either out of control or collapsed with their understanding of moral strength. When we come back, the Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor.